Good evening. The show tonight begins in Kashmir with Hussain Haqqani and Bill Raggio telling the story of how a piece of the Raj, the great India colonial conquest by Great Britain, turned into a perpetual war in the second half of the 20th century and continues. Kashmir, a dominant Muslim state, was under the control of a prince who was a Hindu. Therefore, it was never clear which way it was going to go in the partition. There have been several wars fought over it. It's a forbidding landscape in part, and a line of control between, not sovereign border, but a line of control between India and Pakistan is right through a very mountainous region. China is on the northeast. Pakistan is on the west. India is on the south. And all of this territory, Pakistan on the north, India on the south of Kashmir, is in dispute. Hence the immediate attention to a conflict triggered by a terror attack, a massacre of Hindu tourists by what are said to have been Muslim jihadists who executed Hindu men. This is a lesson in feud that reignites now and again, or is reignited, Hussain Haqqani explains, Kashmir. Then we turn to the subject at hand of Ukraine. John Hardy joins. What does Ukraine need to sustain its defenses of itself if the U.S. withdraws? It needs air defense. Is there adequate air defense in Europe? It's not clear. It's just not clear. So what happens next is Ukraine is going to build up as much as it can in anticipation of the Trump administration withdrawing major support. At the same time, John speaks to what is to be done about what he characterizes as Putin's foot dragging about negotiations. Ukraine never more in the news than the upcoming parade, where the Moscow authorities are fearful of a drone attack during the parade. Then Malcolm Honlein returns from the March of the Living in Krakow, outside of Krakow, to between Auschwitz and Birkenau. And a huge rainstorm flashed. Well, into the program, a huge rainstorm hit, and they had to hurry up the procedure and suspend the balance of the event. I attended two of these over these last years. They're quite moving. There were 80 survivors of the Holocaust in attendance at this ceremony. Malcolm tells the story. We also discussed anti-Semitism, a Harvard 300-page report of what happened in 24 and what is to be done, which Malcolm quickly characterizes inadequate for the problem. Elsewhere in the program, I talked to Peter Berkowitz about what Harvard needs to do in order to answer the concerns that this abuse of Jewish students has been going on for some time. It's not fresh. On to the question of, did the banks selling China Miracle from the 1990s until the recognition that the Chinese economy was built on sand, did those banks see the bubble that was building? I don't know. I asked Charles Ortel, an investor, and Stevenson Yang, an analyst, did people see it? I don't know. They believe it was impossible to miss, but if you're selling something, you don't emphasize the negatives, is one explanation I got. Right now, everybody sees the bubble, but still, you wonder about all those years in which it was not obvious. Is it Xi Jinping? Is he the bubble? No. Is he the bubble collapse? Yes. And what is to be done? Oh, an odd story with Grant Newsham. The CIA, believe it or not, has produced two melodramatic movies, shorts, about Chinese nationals and the Chinese Communist Party, make-believe, fiction, deciding to betray their country because it is unclear what the motives are. Something about corruption. But that's not adequate, an explanation for a man turning on his own country. My experience in reading the story of the Soviets and spying and how the CIA worked once upon a time, recruiting agents from the other camp is difficult. There are walk-ins. You don't have to recruit. There are those who do it out of ideology. That would be the Cambridge Five once upon a time. And there are some who fall in love and believe they're helping their future husband or present husband or future wife. Mix of that. Soviets used them all. And is this CIA production encouraging people to betray China? I don't know. Is it a recruiting method? Well, why are they showing it to us? Grant Newsham and I speak of it, and we don't solve it. It's odd. Ernesto Araujo joins to talk about items from Brazil. First of all, a bomb plot against Lady Gaga performance in Copacabana Beach in Rio. 2 million people in attendance. Bomb plot. No details now, some allegations, but no details. Too bizarre. Then a report on the Republic of Brazil doing better. Bolsonaro's out of the hospital and is expected to be able to return to walking around normally. They were concerned that he would be bedridden because of the damage to his intestines in the knife attack of 2018. A conversation about how all the Latin American states that turned into the pink tide several years past are turning back now, following perhaps Malay's example. Even Lula da Silva, a man of the left, is backing away from other outrageous left performances such as Maduro in Venezuela or, well, there are so many examples to list, but over these years, Petro in Colombia, for example. But the article argues that they're turning back. So Ernesto and I speak of these matters. Finally, a cyber threat. Annie Fixler from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy reprises her testimony to Congress about what needs to be done. The chief recommendation is to build resilience in your system. A complete defense doesn't work. You can get through anything. There are lots of ways in. And China's relentless. So she recommends building a system that when they do get in, you don't go offline. You don't crash. You're able to recover. You maintain minimum and then come back quickly. Resilience. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.